Would you pray with me? Lord, once again, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, I told you last week kind of where we're headed, and just to sort of go back there and touch on that for those that might not have been here, for the next couple of months, we want to explore here on Sunday mornings. Indeed, we want to explore every day as we live together what it means to be the community of the beloved, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the title of this series is called What Christ Had in Mind. What Christ had in mind when he founded the church. What Christ had in mind when he called us into community. This comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, where the Apostle Paul says, "But we have the mind of Christ," which is something to which we all need to aspire as individuals and as a church, having the mind of Christ. It's this perspective that draws us to look beyond the church to its Lord for direction and for hope. Now, egotistically, we tend to think of the Bible as a book about individuals and their relationship with God. But I think we have that backwards, because I think it's really a book about God and his relationship with individuals. And I think we need to come from that perspective. The Bible reveals that our triune God has always been involved since the beginning, since day one. He's never been absent from what is taking place in history. God has always been at work in the world. The psalmist looks on with wonder in his eyes and heaven in his soul when he says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth," he says, "fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations." Yet another awestruck ancient prayer intones this: "There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. For you alone are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me," this is great, you got to like this part a lot. "Teach me," this is our prayer, got to be, "teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart to revere your name." Amen. I should just stop there. That's enough. But I need to tell you some more, because I'm a preacher, right? Not only is God involved, but here's the good news. He invites us to join him in his efforts. This text, the John text, the longer one that you heard Donna read, marks the first fully developed discourse in John's gospel. That alone makes it worthy of some attention. The Son of God replies sharply and clearly to some misguided critics who are sort of taking him to task for having healed a person on Sunday, on the Sabbath. And Jesus answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing." The Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. And greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. Amen. So let's look at this process that Jesus is describing in this passage. We can just take it apart. Let me just give you the pieces here. First, the Father's been working, says Jesus, right up until now. Now the Father has him working as well. Even, I'd underline that, the Son does nothing on his own initiative. Everything comes, says Jesus, from the Father. He watches, Jesus does, and he's alert to what the Father is doing. And then he does just the same. Out of love, the Father shows him everything that he is doing. That's the trajectory of the passage. That's the core of the message. That's the way it works. The Son watches the Father and imitates the Father, does what the Father is doing, and the Father, out of love, reveals his purposes to the Son and calls him to further efforts and gives him efficacy in doing so. So to know the Father's will, Jesus says, he watched to see what the Father was doing. Much as an apprentice would watch a master carpenter at work and then endeavor to mimic what he had done. And then the Son joins the Father in that same work that the Father is doing. This is not the Son's initiative. This is the Father's initiative. This is not the Son's agenda. This is the Father's agenda. The Father shows all this to the Son out of love. And in other words, both the desire and the direction are born and shaped in the Father's love. Ultimately, this, let's call it a dynamic interdependence. How about that? This dynamic interdependence is life-giving and it's world-changing. So what's the application for us? What's the application for our church? The answer lies in the second text that Donna read, the short one. Jesus says, whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. The long and short of this is if we put these two together, the Son is watching and joining the Father in what he's doing in the world, and he calls us, you and me, to watch and join him in this common enterprise. And the bottom line is, if we join with the Father and with the Son, the work we undertake will succeed and it will prosper and it will bear fruit. As the Apostle James says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. It is God that gives us the ability to do these things, and it is God who blesses it with success. Now here's the thing. As another psalmist tells us, the God of Israel neither sleeps nor slumbers. Excuse me. Even now, even right now, this morning, he is here among us, working as he always has been for almost 50 years now. Our task as the followers of the Son is to look beyond our own agendas, to put down our willful decisions, and to look around and see where the Father is already working, and then to join him in that work. It doesn't matter much what we want for our church. What matters is what the Father wants for His church. We need to join Him in that endeavor if we want to see the church grow and prosper and be vital and do all those things that Jesus calls it to do. And if we do, Jesus promises us that we will see even greater works. And that we'll be amazed, we will marvel, he says, for the Son gives life to whom he will. Now let's be honest. That requires a certain willed trust on our part, doesn't it? And there are some among us, if we're honest, who find that to be quite difficult. They look and their eyes see only a shrinking and aging congregation. And this makes them fearful because they love the church. If this is where you find yourself this morning, I came to ask you to join me here and look again. Look again. I want to ask you to look around you here at FHPC. Only this time I want you to employ the eyes of faith. I want you to look for signs of what God is already doing among us. And I hope that you'll recognize the positive things that are occurring here. A couple months ago, it takes me that long to develop a sermon. A couple months ago, I invited the session to do this with me, this exact thing that I'm suggesting to you, to look around with the eyes of faith. And here's the list that they developed. You may have seen some of it on the whiteboard in the fellowship center. It sat there for quite a while till someone erased it. But here's what they saw. The second service, Home by Another Way. That second service has sort of struggled from the beginning. Certainly in the summers, lots of times in the summer, we saw 12 or 15 people in there, including the band. Last spring, we almost said, let's don't do two services all summer. It's an awful lot of work for a very little reward. Guess what happened? Those of you that were there, the attendance this summer was in the 40s all summer long. More than the attendance, though, is the vitalness of the community that has developed there. Those folks love their worship service and they love their church just as much as you do. God is at work. That's God's doing. I couldn't do that. You couldn't do that. No amount of publicity could ever do that. Our attendance in here. All summer long, we have had the best attendance here in worship that we've had in 3 years. More people coming during the summer, looking to explore and build their relationship with Christ. We took in 6 new members in a recent group, largest group we've taken in quite a while. But not only are they new members, they're vital new members. We have 2 of them sitting in the choir this morning. Almost all of them have gotten involved in some way. And the 1 or 2 that haven't, I just haven't caught up with yet. But I'm not done. Our youth group. All of you that have been here know the effort we put into that youth group in the first few years that I was here. We brought in Debbie DiBernardi, the best person I know at that kind of work. And we spent a lot of money and we put a lot of focus on it. And we got nowhere. I prayed. You prayed. Debbie prayed. Didn't go anywhere. Wasn't God's time. Not quite a year ago, a youth group wasn't even a dream here. We had abandoned it. I had surrendered it. Can't do it. Not right for our community. And then we get this Facebook message from Tim Schlum, who reaches out and says, would you care to talk about that? Sure. We go have a conversation. You know what now? Each and every Tuesday night, there's something in the measure of 25 youth here. 25. And next Sunday, as I told you already, they'll be up here leading you in worship. Thanks be to God. We couldn't do that with our best plans and our finest efforts and our deepest financial commitment. But when God decided that's what he wanted to do here at FHPC, bang, look what happened. The Father is working. We need to see where he's working, and we need to come and join him. So roll up your sleeves. How about our little kids? You don't see this either. Wednesday evenings, we have little kids. 9, 10, 11. Used to only have 3. We had Annabelle, Aurora, Eloise. Kids from the families that were here. That's blossomed with the efforts that have been made. And not only do we have them here following the Pied Piper over there, singing and dancing, we have them here for Bible study. They're getting to know the Lord Jesus Christ each and every Wednesday night. And oh, by the way, we have Sunday school now too, something we haven't had in years. God's doing, not ours. Our volunteers continue to make our campus ever more attractive. Jack and George working on the plants, Bob working on the facility, the new pathway out front, all the work the Biblical Garden people put in to renew that garden. This campus has never looked better. When you come on it, it's attractive, it's welcoming. It's what it needs to be. That's going on here. That's God's work as well. Financially, there's confidence in the giving that's coming in. We're 3/4 of the way through the year, right? Those of you that are really quick mathematically, what percentage is that? 75. You know where we are on our pledge receipts right now? 74%. Right on target. We have never, in my experience, been there at the end of the summer. The summer is always the low time. John Skews used to call it the bathtub effect. Because everybody's gone and they're busy and they're doing other stuff. They come back, it always catches up. But in this month, we're never where we are. That's God's work. Some of that is pledges in cash. Some of that is IRA receipts that we're getting. Nonetheless, it's here and it's happening. It's unheard of. Our capital fund drive. This is so exciting, I just can barely contain myself. Our mortgage is now reduced to $261,734.87. Thank you very much. Absolutely. That is down from $550,000. Do the math there, you percentage people. That's more than half. Our mortgage has been cut by more than half because of God's initiative and your faithfulness. God bless you for it. Our capital reserve now stands, which is the money that comes in because of the reduced costs of the mortgage, right? We take, as that mortgage reduces, the savings that we have, we take and we put in this capital reserve fund because Bob keeps breaking air conditioners. Stop it. Stop it, I tell you. That capital reserve fund, I think, is now at $29,000. When we started, it was at $1,200. So, air conditioners broke this summer. Bob had a pocket to reach for. It was wonderful. God's work. Our foundation continues to grow and provide stability for our future. God's work again, it was God's initiative in the first place. It's succeeding. It's doing what it was dreamt to do, I don't know. Wednesday nights, our attendance has been at an all-time high this summer. But it's not just the number of people, it's the real success of it was measured in the interpersonal participation that went on when we shared encountering God together. And now we're off on this gifts of the Spirit thing. We have at least 6 active Bible studies taking place right now, every week. Our deacons, John was talking to you about the nominating committee. I can't say enough for our deacons. We have had really good, committed deacons ever since I've been here. But I'm here to tell you, not to take anything away from past groups, we have never had a group of deacons like the ones we have now. These people love the Lord, and they care for you. And they just can't do enough. They visit. They cook. They pray. They pick up. They write notes. They show the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of this community to those that need it. All day, every day. I have to say this one. This was tough. This is the session, not me. They said something to the effect that we had a strong pastor. I don't know. I like the part about biblical preaching even better. Because we have strength here. We know where it comes from. We have the comment box out there. We get comments. Session reviews each and every one of them, and then we bring them into our new quarterly family gatherings. So that you can amplify on them, ask further questions, do whatever. So that you can know what's going on in your community. That you can come face to face with your leadership and hear from them why and how they're making decisions. Again, God's work to endeavor to bring us together, to tighten the bonds amongst us. Our flourishing disciples group, now the disciples of Christ, they're getting their feet on the ground. It's taken us a while because some of the stuff that went on here that we had to attend to, but they're getting their feet on the ground now. And this work that you're going to see in the Fellowship Center this afternoon is their initiative, their focus. They've got a Bible study coming right behind it. And there's more. We can expect more from them. God's work, again. And our fellowship continues to grow. We all know that. We all know how much we enjoy one another and how much we value one another. FHPC is alive. That's the point. And it's straining at all of its reserves because it's alive. Because the Father is at work here. And if we watch and if we join Him, we get these kinds of results. I couldn't do that. The session couldn't do that. You couldn't do that. The Lord Jesus Christ did that in the power He gained from His Father. There have never been as many services offered and activities in which to participate in this church as there are now. And don't take my word for it. You know I can't be trusted. I just get too excited. Don't take my word for it. Come to the All Church Ministry Fair afterward. Come over to that Fellowship Center and look around. Just look and see all the life that's here. Meet the people. Talk with them. Find your way in. Look and see where you see the Father working and say, boy, I can help with that. I'll bet Jesus would be grateful. Revealing what He is doing around us, as I am doing with you this morning, that's God's way of inviting you to join Him. Many of you have accepted this invitation. If you're not among them, what are you waiting for? We need some more help. I invite all of you to join me in the Fellowship Center afterward. I invite all of you to come and look at these ministries. And I invite all of you to figure out which ones appeal to you, which ones you think you have gifts that you can help with. Because you have them, and we need them. I invite you to walk among the tables, visit with the folks there who have already made a decision to watch for what the Father is doing and lend a hand in building His kingdom here at Fountain Hills Presbyterian Church. The psalmist reminds us, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. We've seen that. But if we look around now, here, there's clear evidence that the Lord's at work here in this house. And He's looking for builders to join Him. Builders like you and like me. And frankly, I think He has you in mind. Because I'm tired. He's got work for you, though. Won't you come? Won't you come and say yes to His invitation? After all, Jesus didn't die so that we could come to church. He died so that we could become the church. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Let's just take a moment in silence now. Pray for our church and pray for yourself. Pray that the Lord might show you where He wants you to be involved.